Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast, the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is Podcast. I'm excited to welcome the host of the Love Is Podcast, Kim Sorrell. Kim, how are you? I know you're excited about our guest.
Hi, Neil. I am doing great. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank, you are a legend in your own time, I think, is what it is. You are the Bible answer man. You've done so much in your lifetime, and you continue to do so much. And now your book has gotten this revision and you've got other things going. And I am just so thrilled to be here with you. Welcome to the show, Hank.
Well, that's quite an introduction. It's really nice to be with you, Neil.
Great. Well, I'm glad that you're here. Yeah. So, Hank, this is where I want to start. So you're the Bible answer man. And personally, I read the Bible and you know how you read a verse and you get something different out of it than when you read it 10 years ago or 5 years ago or last week. And it's just this evolving thing, right? And so how do you become the Bible answer man to be able to answer the multitude of, I don't even know how many millions of questions people would have packed into the Bible?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Neil. Actually, our ministry was founded in 1960 by a man named Dr. Walter Martin, and he was known as the Bible Answer Man because he founded not only the organization, but the radio broadcast, and the radio broadcast was called the Bible Answer Man Broadcast. So when I became president of the Christian Research Institute, I became host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So I always make that distinction. People say, you're the Bible Answer Man. I say, no, I'm the host of a broadcast called the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A subtle distinction. But, you know, one of the things that you learn over time is that knowledge is progressive. So for many years, people would ask me questions. I'd say, you know, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that question, but I'll research and return. So the next time I'm asked that question, I do have a compelling answer to the question. So over the years, and I've almost done this broadcast for 40 years, I've continued to learn a lot. But to your other point about the Bible being alive and dynamic and active, that's such a brilliant point because it is true that you never come to the Bible as the same person because you're constantly in a state of change. You're growing, you're developing, you're learning, you're changing, your experiences are different. So yeah, the Bible is alive and dynamic. It is a reliable resource for faith and practice.
Yeah, so true. And it's amazing to me because there are so many books out there, you know, multitudes of books out there, but there is nothing like the Bible. There just isn't anything like it. And I look at my own faith journey and I think about, sometimes I think, Hank, there should be a book on not just how to raise a toddler or an adolescent, but how to get through your 20s and maybe how to get through your 30s, right? How to get through your 40s. And I think about what I believed or where my faith journey was in my 20s compared to my 30s, compared to my 40s, compared to my 50s. It is evolving and changing. And I think part of the whole thing is giving people the grace maybe to let themselves evolve and change. Do you see that?
Yeah, I do. I think that's a very insightful point. A truth doesn't change. But we're constantly changing and growing. And the very fact that this book is called the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. There are revisions that take place over time where you say, I could have sharpened the answer to that question, or maybe in some cases I have a different perspective. I want to view the answer to that question through a different lens. So yeah, we're growing and developing and learning. That's part of the Christian process. I mean, that's what happens when you go into a gym. You develop. When you get a gym membership, you don't suddenly become strong. You become strong by actually using that membership. And the same thing is true within the Christian church. When we're in the sacramental liturgical life of the church, we grow and we develop and we expand from one glory to another. I mean, that's the beauty of the Christian life. We always continue to go from one glory to another. And that's true not only in this life, but it is in the life to come. In eternity, we will learn and grow and develop, albeit without error. But we will continue developing because God is ineffable, and we can never come to an end of knowing someone who is completely unknowable beyond our wildest imagination. So that will be an ongoing development from one glory to another, even in eternity.
Mm-hmm. I love your perspective. I love what you're having to say. There's a couple of great points that you made. One has to do with perspective and perspective changing and evolving, but also that we're kind of allowed to change and evolve, and probably encouraged to even to change and evolve with life circumstances, with life experience, because I always kind of think, Hank, I don't know about you, but I always kind of feel like the more I know, the less I know. And it's like the more I know about God, the bigger I realize he is and how God can't be put in a box. And so it's how do you deal with people coming from different positions or different angles than or different experiences than what you do when you answer questions?
Yeah, I think one of the things we are commanded to do is to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you. But then this caveat, we need to do it with gentleness and with respect. And I think this is the way in which we interact with people that don't know Christ, that do not have a grounding in the Christian faith. We don't answer them in a bullish manner, but rather in a gentle, compelling fashion, with gentleness and with respect. And you know, I often think I have been privileged beyond measure to be able to work in an institute where I have the latitude to research and return. So I learn some things that other people don't have the opportunity to learn. I can use that in a proud way, or I can use that in a humble way and say, thank God that he's given me the opportunity to learn these things in this particular context. And now I'm responsible to God to use that in a way that's edifying and glorifying to him, rather than in a proud, audacious fashion.
Wow. If only the whole world could feel like that, right? I mean, because I think so often there can be an arrogance that can go along with faith. You know, like you and I, we've been in the church forever, right? Like I don't remember a time that I wasn't just wrapped up in Jesus and just in love with my walk and wanting more of God. And you're the same way. And but people are at different points in life and at different positions in life. And so being gentle, I love the word, that is so great, to learn how to be gentle with your responses is so important. I love that. That's genius.
Then the last question, Kim, is a love question, because we are close to running out of time. Go ahead with that question.
Okay, yeah. So, Hank, I did this thing. I dedicated a year to figuring out the true meaning of love, because, you know, John says that God is love. And I figured, you know, the whole WWJD, what would Jesus do? People answer that question different ways, depending on who you believe Jesus is. But love is universal. And God is love, not that he loves, but that he is love. And so I did this deep dive and I used 1 Corinthians 13 as my roadmap, you know, and took one word or phrase a month to figure out what is love that is patient, what is love that is kind, and things I found out blew my mind. And so love, I feel like, is something that maybe in my experience hasn't been talked about enough within the church. And yet it's everything, because it's what God is. Where do you see love playing a role in your work and in where you think the church should be going?
Yeah, we are supposed to model our lives after Jesus Christ, who you correctly indicate is the very personification of love. And I love the fact that you also pointed to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the quintessential passage on love. And it gives us not only what love is, but also what love does. So it not only defines love in the context of the one who is the personification of love, but then it gives us the template of how we are to conduct ourselves in relationship to the world in which he has placed us, most prominently with the people that he has given us to love.
Excellent. Yes, so true. So true. Right.
Where's the best place we can find information on you? Where can we go, sir?
So, you know, by the way, the Complete Bible Answer book is available on the web at equip.org, and it's always available in bookstores everywhere as well.
All right. Well, fantastic. That was the special simulcast, the Neil Haley Show, and the Love Is Podcast, guys. Take care.